From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line with today's host, Father Wade Menezes. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
And we welcome you again to Open Line Tuesday here on EWTN Radio. As you know, we have a different host every day of the week. Tuesday is no exception, and Tuesday, of course, is our dear friend, Father Wade Menezes. How are you, Padre?
I'm doing great, Tom, and it's good to have you here in place of Jack. Nothing against Jack, of course.
Not at all. Well, we're glad to have you in studio with us. You're doing a little work up in Hanceville this week, right?
Yes, doing a little bit of work there and also a little bit of rest time. So I'm kind of fitting both. I'm finishing up my new book, which will hopefully come out this fall.
Great.
And kind of ties into today's topic a little bit, but I've been finishing that up and working with my editor on that. And then also just doing some rest time. I have a week of vacation, so I've just decided to do it at the Shrine.
Fantastic. I can think of no better place. Here's our phone number. If you have a question for Father Wade, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Outside North America, please dial 1 and then 205-271-2985. These days, a lot of folks like to text. You can certainly text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. And then once you get that response, text us your first name and your brief question. Message and data rates may apply. And of course, you can always shoot us an email, the address for that, openline@ewtn.com. Be sure to put Tuesday or Father Wade in the subject line. We've been talking a lot the last couple of days. Well, we've been talking about a couple of things. One, of course, is the passing of our dear friend Al Cresta. I know that you were on Al's program from time to time, and certainly he leaves big shoes to fill. He was sort of the godfather of Catholic radio, I think. He was there in the early days and doing a lot of the great work. One of the other things that we're on the other side of now is Father's Day. And, of course, we think not only of our own biological fathers, but we also think of fathers-in-law and adoptive fathers, perhaps godfathers, grandfathers, and, of course, our spiritual fathers, priests like you.
Yeah, that's right. And I want this hour live, Tom, of Open Line Tuesday to kind of extend the celebration of Father's Day, if you will, our
Great.
Secular Father's Day here in the United States, which we celebrated this last Sunday. And speaking of which, I know that Al Cresta was a father of a large family.
Yes.
And a convert. And I had the pleasure of being interviewed by him for my second book, Overcoming the Evil Within, The Reality of Sin and the Transforming Power of God's Grace and Mercy. And I know that he and his wife had a beautiful, large brood of a family. And so my condolences to all of the Cresta family. And I have fond memories of working with Al that one time with that interview. And I know also that he was a stalwart man of the church and a very, very strong committed Catholic convert, and contributed many, many years to Catholic radio, so God rest his soul. But yeah, you know, Pope Francis, on a number of occasions since his election in March of 2013, has spoken out about the role, the meaning, and the essence of fatherhood, Tom. And we should do well to heed his words as both physical and spiritual fathers, as you just intimated in your opening comments. In a homily on June 26, 2013, Pope Francis described fatherhood as the innate calling of all men, something that is not only biological, but also spiritual. In his typically direct pastoral manner, Pope Francis said that if a man doesn't desire to be a father, something is wrong. Something is missing. After all, for example, priests are called father in recognition of their life-giving role in the sacraments and in the church, the Bride of Christ, which he founded, and all men are called to be protectors of the young, the needy, and of society in general. That is, practicing their masculine genius as providers, protectors, and defenders, right? Where John Paul II would teach that the feminine genius that is innate in women is the fact that they are comforters and nurturers and nesters. But the two genders work together. You know, the old phrase mama bear, right?
Yes, yes.
So a mom, of course, could be a provider, protector, defender, and a father, of course, could be a comforter, a nurturer, and a nester. But these are the primary gifts of each gender, and they feed one another. Pope Francis said that all of us men need to exist to become complete in order to be mature. And fatherhood is part of this maturity, this completeness, whether actual physical fatherhood or spiritual fatherhood. We need to feel the joy of fatherhood, even those of us who are celibate. Fatherhood is simply the giving of life to others, actual or spiritual. Priests, too, must ask for the grace of spiritual paternity, as those men also who, with their wives within the sacramental covenant of marriage, are unable to conceive children. These men, too, must desire deeply a spiritual paternity, right? This is part and parcel with the vocation of being precisely male. Pope Francis also states this: never becoming a father, it is like an incomplete life, a life that stops halfway. And therefore, we have to be fathers. But it is a grace that the Lord gives. Mm. And these words echoed the sentiments that Pope Francis expressed during his inaugural Mass on March 19th, 2013, the Universal Solemnity of St. Joseph, Husband of Mary. That was his inaugural day as Pope. He said these words. He said, "How does Joseph exercise his role as protector? Well, discreetly, humbly, and silently, but with an unfailing presence and utter fidelity, even when he finds it hard to understand." Pope Francis said, "Joseph is a protector because he is able to hear God's voice and be guided by God's will, and for this reason he is all the more sensitive to the persons entrusted to his care and safekeeping." So these words of the Holy Father should strike us men, married and not married, cleric and non-cleric, very deeply in the very core of our hearts. To be truly Catholic men and true fathers, both physical and spiritual, we need to sacrifice our own egos and desires and cultivate a deeper relationship with Christ and the Heavenly Father for the sake of our loved ones. Our authority as fathers is for the service of others. Today, more than ever, Tom, we Catholic men must make a serious and faith-filled effort to become involved with our families, with one another, and with the Church. There are too many negative influences in our culture today for us to stand on the sidelines and allow marriage, family, and the sanctity of human life to be undermined. We must be the men that God calls us to be, striving for true masculine virtues, seeking to assist and inspire others, and serving as good role models to other men. So I want to invite our callers today. Tell us about the father in your life. Maybe you are the father in that life, and you want to give a witness about your own vocation, or maybe you're a wife, a mother, an aunt, a daughter, a niece, who you want to call in and give a witness about that father in your life. The Lord gives us the courage and the wisdom to carry out this singular mission as fathers, both spiritual and physical, even when the world tells us that we're not needed anymore, that the age of masculinity and fatherhood is past. With God's grace, we can move beyond the distortions of the world to embrace true fatherhood and be faithful guardians of those entrusted to our care. Maybe I got a few minutes yet, I'm not sure, but I want to start giving a list of virtues of, that is, some virtuous characteristics, masculine virtues of a good, faithful, and holy priest, a cleric, of a married layman, and of a single layman, as seen in the lives of the following four men: Father Michael McGivney, the founder of the Knights of Columbus; Father Augustine Tolton, the first African-American priest ordained in the United States; and St. Thomas More, the married Lord Chancellor of England; and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, the single college lay student and helper to the poor and the sick, who will be canonized during 2025. Yes. So that's great news. So again, a list of some virtuous characteristics, that is, masculine virtues, of a good and faithful holy priest, two of them, married layman, and a single layman. And I cultivated this list of virtues, Tom, from reading the biographies of these four men. And if I don't finish the list, we'll come back to it at when we come back from break. Sure. But again, Father Michael McGivney, the founder of the Knights of Columbus; Father Augustine Tolton, the first African-American priest ordained in the United States; St. Thomas More, the married Lord Chancellor of England; and Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati, the single college lay student and helper of the poor and the sick. So we have forgiveness and mercy. We have, of course, fatherly instinct, loyalty, compassion, humility, fidelity or faithfulness. This is seen in the lives of all four of these men, this list of virtues. A lover of wisdom and searcher for truth? How about fraternity and camaraderie, allegiance, constancy, a provider, an instilled sense of duty and responsibility, moral uprightness and strength, for example, modesty and purity like St. Joseph.
Yes.
Bravery, courage, chivalry, great word there, leader or leadership. How about a generous providing spirit, a giver, right? Affability and approachability, protector and defender. We've already mentioned those two in our springboard. Patriot or patriotism, steadfastness, moderation and self-control, one who recognizes the dignity of human labor, and an instilled sense of valor. We got through the list of those masculine characteristics.
I'm so proud of you. Mr. Timing over here, Father Wade Menezes. Hey, we're waiting here for your phone call. Tell us about the fathers in your life. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes on EWTN. Stay with us.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. If you have a question, call 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. Or send us an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Hey, calls are coming in right now for Father Wade Menezes. If you've got a call, something you'd like to share about perhaps your father, maybe your grandfather, maybe your godfather, let's talk about these wonderful men at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're going to get to the phones in just a moment here, but we will be talking about the virtues of physical and spiritual fatherhood, along with anything that you would like to ask of Father Wade. You know, we talk about EWTN Radio pretty much all day, every day here on the network, but if I could, I'd like to say a few words about EWTN Television. By providing quality programming faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church, EWTN Television is TV that viewers can trust. Whether it's films or documentaries, news coverage, award-winning, lively discussion programs, kids programs, we highlight the truth that is the eternal word. It was Mother Angelica's vision all those years ago. We've tried to be faithful to that vision each and every day. For a complete schedule of EWTN's television programs, visit EWTN.com and click on the box marked TV. If you're ready now, let's go to the phones at 833-288-EWTN. And we're going to begin today with Art in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on the Great Spirit Catholic Radio. Hello, Art. What's on your mind today, sir?
Hi, I would like to share with all the fathers out there. I'm a father myself. I have a daughter, 8 years old, that I haven't been able to see in 5 years. For all the fathers that need courage to continue with their fatherhood that have been alienated from their children, I just want to share that through my prayers and a daily basis, I've been able to be close to my daughter through Jesus Christ. And my duty as a father to pray for my daughter and for spiritual health, physical, of course, until I'm able to see her in person and guided by my hand. Sure. My duty as a father praying for her as when she used to be with me, we used to pray until she was 3 years and 8 months old. I know that little seed that I planted in her heart of praying every day. And giving her the blessing of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. She still remembers that. And so I keep praying for that seed to grow roots as long as they can and reach, you know, the heights and the strength that God's provided us through the prayer. So I just want to share this. I haven't seen my daughter in 5 years, but I still feel like every day I can feed you know, through prayers, the spirit of my daughter.
What a beautiful witness there, Art. And You know, I'd like to echo what you're saying in regards to a little bit about the different modes of prayer you can offer for your daughter. You know, not only vocal prayer and meditative prayer, you're offering your spiritual reading for her soul, for her salvation. When you do your daily scriptural reading or your daily spiritual reading, say the Lives of the Saints, or maybe a particular book you're reading by a good Catholic layman, and you happen to be reading that book, it could be anything. You offer up the prayerful spiritual time that you're doing for your daughter, for her well-being, for her soul. Never forget, too, that you can offer your holy communions for her when you receive the Eucharist, and you have the moral certitude that you are in a state of sanctifying grace with not being knowledgeable of any mortal sin in your soul. That's why you're able to get in the communion line and receive the Eucharist. That means that you have, through that moral certitude, you have the 12 fruits and the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit working in you. And you can offer an element of each of those 12 fruits and 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit in your daughter's own growth through the Holy Eucharist that you're receiving, that you're offering for her. You're offering your Holy Communion for her while in a state of sanctifying grace yourself. And that's very, very powerful. How about the daily rosary? How about the daily Divine Mercy Chaplet? Not that your daily rosary, your daily 5-decade rosary, or your daily chaplet of Divine Mercy is to be offered only for her. No, you can have a multiplicity of intentions while you pray those staple beaded prayers. But one of those staple intentions on a daily basis, as you're intimating in the comments you just made, Art, is for your daughter. You're constantly remembering her in your active prayer life. Now, this all leads to you yourself practicing virtue. Okay, I just mentioned the 7 gifts and the 12 fruits as some of those virtues of the Holy Spirit, as some of those virtues in your life, right? That are even increased through the receiving of the source and summit of the Christian life, which is the Eucharist. We can't forget that during this 3-year Eucharistic revival. So my final notes, Tom, of my springboard is a note on virtues. Listen to this, Art. I hope you're truly inspired by it. You sound like you might be Hispanic, just the accent, so you should understand this when I talk about the Latin root of the word virtue from the Latin vir, V-I-R, which is man, meaning male, not hominess, not mankind, meaning male and female. That would be hominess, meaning all mankind or all humankind. No, I mean man precisely as male. The Latin word for male or for man as male is vir, V-I-R. Well, the Latin root of virtue, V-I-R-T-U-E, is also vir. So listen to this. The virtues give us a blueprint for being a man. Indeed, the very term virtue comes from the Latin word for man as male, which is vir, V-I-R. Thus, for the ancients, to be manly was precisely to be virtuous. The term virtue in Latin, virtus, V-I-R-T-U-S, signifies such things as power, strength, and ability. Thus, the virtues are habits that give us the power to act in a manly way with strength sufficient to do what is right and just. Without virtues, Art, we will neither be godly nor real men. Virtues are the building blocks of character, and without them, our moral lives will eventually collapse under the pressures of the world. For the Catholic layman, then, like yourself, Art, the chief earthly iconic example of sound masculine character and virtue should ideally be your parish priest, right? And I know you're in a very solid diocese. You're calling from Lincoln. I'm presuming you live there. Lincoln is known for its faithfulness, its orthodoxy, right in line with the Chair of Peter. So you've got some great priests there. Several years back, I had the privilege of giving the annual priest retreat to a third of the priests in Lincoln out at the Waverly Retreat. Our Lady of Good Counsel Retreat Center. So it's just a great diocese. But Art, I want to thank you for your witness on how you pray for your daughter daily. You can't see her daily. You are not able to speak to her daily, but you can certainly, certainly pray for her daily, pray for her soul, pray for her well-being in body, and pray for her own growth in virtues. You said she's 8 years old as she approaches now her late adolescence and early teen years. Thank you so much, Art.
Art, keep up the great work. We are praying for you and for your daughter. That opens up a line for you right now at 833-288-EWTN one lonely line available, 833-288-3986. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade right here on EWTN Radio. Let's go now to Michael, a first-time caller in West Michigan, listening on Sirius XM, Channel 130. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today, sir?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just kind of piggybacks off that great answer and that question that you just went over. So my father passed away in February of 23, and I pray for his soul daily and all the things that you mentioned to do as far as communion, rosaries, Divine Mercy chaplets. How long do we do that for? That's my question.
Well, that's a great question. That's a great question. That's a fantastic question. Thank you so much, Michael, for your call today from West Michigan. You can certainly pray for him by name, by specific willed intention for the blessed repose of his soul per se, on his birthday, and on his anniversary of death. And also, if you happen to know his baptismal day from his baptismal certificate, which even if you don't have that, you can contact the parish where you have knowledge that your dad was baptized and find out from that parish what that date is. Those are three huge days, the days of birth, the days of baptism, and the days of death, that I like to have a mass said or offer my rosary or my chaplet per se, or maybe an extra added daily rosary that day or an extra second Divine Mercy chaplet that day, if it's my parents' day of passing, their day of birth, or their day of baptism. Otherwise, you know, you can surely have a passing thought on a daily basis of your dad per se when you pray daily for all the holy souls in purgatory. So, for example, at the end of my private rosary that I pray each day, I add these prayers, which are different from the Fathers of Mercy prayers when I pray with my community when I'm home at our generalate in Auburn, Kentucky. We pray in a communal way there. But when I'm on the road, I always add an extra Our Father, extra Hail Mary, and extra Glory Be for all the holy souls in purgatory daily. And I remember my mom and dad by name. If they need it, great. They were included in that. If they don't need it, God applies it to the souls in purgatory. But definitely on their birthday, their baptismal day, and their death day, it's nice to remember them in a particular way. And also, don't forget, if you're able, if it's in your area, to also visit their graves, especially on their death day, their burial day even, to give flowers. And of course, All Souls Day is another great day, November 2nd of every year, which beautifully, beautifully follows November 1st, the Solemnity of All Saints. On November 2nd, we have the commemoration of All Souls. Does that help you out there, Michael?
Yeah, it does. No, I appreciate it. I mean, like you said, there is no time in God's plan, and when God calls his people home. So, that's what I figured, but I didn't know there is no set time or whenever. Yeah. I mean, that's all it was, but I do that stuff, and those are good reminders. The baptismal one is a good reminder, too.
Yeah, and as far as the daily prayers, I think it's more important daily to pray for holy souls in purgatory in general rather than for specific relatives. I'm talking about the daily basis now, on the daily basis when you do your daily prayer. Mm-hmm. Remember all the souls in purgatory. If your parents are there and your dad is there and needs it, he's benefiting from that particular suffrage that you're offering when you pray daily for the holy souls. If he doesn't need it, praise God, he doesn't need it, but the holy souls in purgatory still receive it. But then on those special days, it's nice to remember your folks by name. Great. Thank you so much, Michael.
Appreciate that, Michael. And Father, you pointed out that no prayer is ever wasted, is it?
No, that's right. That's exactly right. Tom, before we break, I got something here that's kind of comical.
Yes,
I think the dads out there, the physical dads especially, physical dads will appreciate this.
All right.
Anonymous authorship here. We don't know who wrote it, but you can find it on the internet. This reflects the transition which most of us have gone through or are going through in our assessment of our father. The child at 4 years of age, my daddy can do anything. The child at 7 years of age, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. 9 years of age, my dad doesn't know quite everything. 13 years of age, oh well, dad just doesn't get it right now. Age 16, my dad, he's too old-fashioned. 21 years of age, my dad is so way out of date. 27 years of age, dad comes up with a good idea now and then. 32 years of age, I have to call dad to find out what he thinks about this.
Ooh.
37 years of age, let me get dad's input before I make my final decision. 50 years of age, what would dad have done about this? And 60 years of age, I wish Dad were here so I could talk to him about this.
Oh.
I miss you, Dad. Great, great truth there in that little poem.
Fantastic. Hey, if you'd like to jump in, we'd love to hear from you today on Open Line Tuesday, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes right here on EWTN. Stay with us.
This is Open Line on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hey, glad you're with us for Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes. Our phone number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. I know that you've got a new book coming out, Father. It's like a cake. All the ingredients are now in the oven, and it's baking.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
It's not quite out just yet.
It's not quite out just yet. We're looking for a late fall release in time for Christmas. It'll be titled Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. It's 200 daily meditations, so just over a six-month period.
Mm-hmm.
I want all the men out there, married and single, cleric and non-cleric, even widowers, to see this book as a daily spiritual reader that is a daily spiritual feeder.
Wow.
It's a 200-day meditation on Scripture and Saints, with a meditation itself wrapped up by myself, who wrote it. And it covers a variety of topics, and I'm hoping the men will get a lot out of it. Again, Stand Firm, Be Strong, a Men's Catholic Daily Devotional of Scripture and Saints. I'm looking at this book, Tom, as a six-month jump-starter for the individual man's spiritual life to get back on track.
And we will be looking for that. It is published by EWTN Publishing.
That's right.
And as you say, it'll be coming out in the fall.
Yes, that correct? Is correct. That is correct. Yep.
Very good. All right, back to the phones now at 833-288-EWTN. Here is John in Salt Lake City listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Hello, John. What's on your mind today, sir? John, are you there? Hey, John in Salt Lake City, are you there? I think John is probably in a different conversation. If you could put him on hold, Michael, we'll come back to John. We'll get that squared away. Here's Catherine now in California listening on the EWTN app. Hello, Catherine. What's on your mind today?
Yeah. Do you consider the LUSP Lust is an original thing for the Catholics?
Could you say that again, please, Catherine?
The L-U-S-T, lust.
Lust.
Yes. What about lust?
Is it
resultant of the original sin? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. Do you consider it as sure. an original sin?
Okay. So any sinful matter that we experience is resultant ultimately of the original sin committed by our first parents. The first sin committed by our parents ushered in the original sin, to use the appropriate language of the church. The first sin, which was one of disobedience and pride, is what ushered in the original sin of our first parents. And the original sin is the sin by which the first human beings disobeyed the commandment of God, choosing to follow their own will rather than God's will, right? As a consequence, they lost the grace of original holiness, which they possessed up until that point, which we call the state of justification. And they became subject to the law of death. So it was then that sin became universally present in the world. Besides the personal sin of Adam and Eve, original sin describes the fallen state of human nature, which affects every person born into the world and from which Christ, the new Adam, came to redeem us. So many of the church fathers writing in the first 8 centuries, Catherine, they say that there's two chief effects of the original sin. And the two chief effects of the original sin, which was committed by our first parents, ushered in by our first parents, is a darkened intellect and a weakened will.
Mm.
Where before the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, the darkened intellect was enlightened and the weakened will was strengthened. Okay. But after they committed that original sin, the enlightened intellect became darkened and the strengthened will became weakened. So we don't always choose correctly. So if a person does not temper the sexual appetite, for example, they can lead themselves unwittingly into the vice of lust. So to answer your question, if lust, which you spelled out L-U-S-T, is part of the original sin, I would say yes, insofar as any sin is ultimately linked to the original sin of our first parents. Does that help you out, Catherine?
Yeah, because I just felt it that I before when I in my college years.
Sure, sure. So are you a Catholic? I presume you're a Catholic?
Yeah, but okay. I'm feeling that I did it before, but
okay. So what I would urge you to do is to maybe go to confession at a regular confession time of your local parish. If you look at your local parish's website, you'll find out what time of the week they have confessions, usually on a Saturday, but not always on a Saturday. Sometimes they're midweek to free up the priest Saturday afternoon, especially if he's by himself and has no associate pastors, and he's got the vigil mass coming up. He might often, if he's by himself, have confessions offered midweek, like on a Wednesday night. But regardless, look up your parish's website, find out when confessions are, and just simply confess that to the priest. And you don't have to be graphic in your description of things. Say, I suffered from lust in these particular areas. And you could say, you know, I had approximately, and I'm not saying this is your case, but I'm just giving a hypothetical example. I was impure with this many individuals who I was not married with, you know, about five individuals or about four individuals who I was not married to. I drank to excess, or and if you don't know the approximate number, you don't need to know the exact number for confession. All you need to know is the approximate number of the mortal sins. Just say, you know, it happened many times, Father. And that's enough to give the confessor an idea that it happened many times in your life. And he'll know that, and he'll give you an adequate a proper and adequate penance for those sins that you've confessed. But confession is very liberating and very freeing, especially of the more serious sins that of our past, whether they're sexual or not. It's very, very liberating and very, very freeing to go to confession. And remember, confession is not about great or graphic detail about your sins. That said, you do have to call the sin what it is, what it was, and then if it was mortal, give the approximate number of times you committed it. There's a beautiful section on confession in the Universal Catechism. I urge you to take a look at that to brief yourself on the beautiful sacrament of confession before you go. Thank you so much, Catherine, for a great question.
Appreciate your call, Catherine. It is Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes right here on EWTN Radio. Let's go to Auri, listening in Manassas. Hey there, Auri. Let's find out what's on your mind today.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, first-time caller, Father Wade. Pleasure to talk to you and your show. I had a question. I have the remains of my little Yorkie, 12 years old, in an urn at home. I am born and raised Catholic. I wonder about pets. How do you handle the remains of a pet?
Well, that's a great question. You know, pets are important. They bring us joy. They bring us recreation. They help fulfill our leisure. They're important with their little instinctual habits that they have, whether canine or feline or whatever. They're not intellectual like humans are. They don't have intellect and will like a human being does, made in God's image and likeness. But they have an instinctual awareness, and they can be quite comical. They can also be quite loving in their instinctual awareness towards their owner, etc. So they bring us joy and comfort and leisure and even recreation, even in such things as competitions like dog shows and stuff. I mean, that's a legitimate sport. So just like horse racing is a legitimate sport. So pets are important is my point, because I want to show credence to your question and its validity. And if it is a pet, it's important for us to want to handle it correctly when it comes to burying. I would not go through an extravagant pet burial of any type that's exorbitant financially or anything like that. But since you did go ahead and it sounds like you had your Yorkie's body cremated, because you said you have the cremains in an urn, I would simply just bury the urn in the earth of your place where you live. Or I would simply empty the urn's ashes directly into the earth where you live. And, you know, you can make a little cross or something. Sometimes at a farm store or at a pet store, you can buy a little cross for your pet because it was one of God's creatures. Nobody can deny that. Yeah. That's clear from the book of Genesis, and that's important to remember. And you could put a little cross there. But we don't pray for the repose of souls, of intellectual souls of pets, like we do with the human person. So you want to make those distinctions. But at the same time, you want to do what's proper and adequate for one of God's creatures that brought you so much joy. So I would simply bury it in your property. And if you feel uncomfortable burying the entire urn, then I would simply just pour the urn into the earth of the cremains and then bury the cremains that way. And you can rinse out the urn and keep it as a keepsake, or you could rinse out the urn and give it, you know, to a Goodwill or something
sure,
like that.
Sure.
You know,
so. Well, there you go. Ari, thank you so much for your call today. I want to give a little shout out to our listener, John in Salt Lake City. We had him on hold, ready to go, and then the call dropped. John, if you want to call us back, we'll hopefully get you on today's program. It is Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade. Do check out EWTN Live. That's coming up tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Father Mitch will be talking about the National Eucharistic Pilgrimage to the National Eucharistic Congress, and that's in Indianapolis coming up next month with Father Mark McCormick, his guests, and Mackenzie Warren. Should be a very interesting program, 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow night on EWTN radio and television. Let's go now to Marie in Texas, listening on the Great Guadalupe Radio. Marie, what's on your mind today?
Yes, sir. Is it appropriate for a parish priest to be dancing with the ladies of his church?
Are you referring to like a wedding or something? What are you referring to?
It's a celebratory event. The priest had, it was the anniversary of his ordination, I guess you would say. Yes. And, you know, we were all celebrating and the ladies kind of, I think the ladies that were in charge of the whole thing, they, you know, were just determined that, you know, he was going to dance with them, and they would pay $5. You know, they were advertising that in the church, you know, every Sunday, and then they would pay $5 and get to dance with Father. And it's just a little worrisome for me.
Yeah, I mean,
I just wonder.
I think it's odd. You're not going to find anything in a church document that spells it out in the negative as you wish it would be. The church just doesn't micromanage in that regard. I mean, prudence reigns supreme here. It sounds like he had adequate time to realize that this was being advertised before the day of the actual event to turn away from it and make it clear to the ladies who were organizing the event, no, I don't want this done. I don't want to dance at this celebratory event of my ordination, nor do I want people to pay $5 for a short dance with me to raise money. This it's not the mind of the church. So in my opinion, I surely wouldn't do it. And I don't think it's the mind of the church to do it. But, you know, at the same time, you're not going to find it spelled out in a church document. You're going to find it maybe in a priestly manual of prayer by a saint that priests need to be very, very careful with their in protecting their modesty and whatever else. You'll find it in that sense, but you're not going to find it spelled out in regards to a specific event like a dance at a wedding to or a celebratory event of an ordination to raise money for the church. The church just doesn't micromanage like that. But I would agree with you that it appeared to be very, very odd. And but yet at the same time, I think probably it's more the priests than the women. The women were wrong in planning it that way, in my opinion. But I think the priest has a greater culpability here because he knew well in advance that it was going to happen, and he had the chance to call it off and say, no, let's just not do this. I know you ladies mean well, but I just would rather not do that. And he didn't do that. So, you know, in a day and age, and here's probably the crowning reason why. In a day and age when the priesthood is so scrutinized to begin with because of the scandals in the past, whether heterosexual, homosexual, or financial scandal in the past, you know, the priesthood is greatly scrutinized. So I think it's incumbent with a capital I. It's incumbent upon priests today in a very, very particular way to watch themselves, to protect themselves, to protect their flocks, etc. The priest's best watchman is himself.
Yeah, walk the line.
Yeah, he can have the best bishop who has his back, who he has a great relationship with. If he's a religious order priest, he can have the best superior general or father superior general who's got his back and they get along great. It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. The priest's best watchman is still himself, period. And that's really the crowning reason here for this particular topic that you called about. I just think it's imprudent. I think it adversely affects the priest's modesty and those of the women in his parish. Great question. Thank you so much for your call. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for your call, Marie from Texas. Let's go now to Anne in Washington, listening on the great Sacred Heart Radio. Hello, Anne. What's on your mind today?
Oh, am I on now?
Yes, go right ahead, Anne.
Okay. Father Wade, are you there?
Yes, I am, Ann. How are you?
Fine. I think you just answered my question about venial sin. I have a friend who told me that once you have confessed a venial sin, you never have to confess it again in your whole life. And I don't agree with that. I wasn't taught that way because if you have a habitual venial sin that you commit over and over again, I believe that you get the graces to overcome that by confessing them in the confessional.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. In fact, show me a person, Anne, who goes to confession faithfully once a month. I've said this many times on Open Line Tuesday. Show me a person who goes to confession faithfully once a month, for example, around the first Friday of each month in honor of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the 9 first Fridays, or they go around the first Saturday of each month in honor of the 5 first Saturdays of the Immaculate Heart of Mary devotion. It's just a good time to remember, oh, first Friday, first Saturday, time to go to confession, right? Let's say they do that faithfully 12 times a year, once each month. Chances are, Anne, chances are those monthly confessions will be only venial sins.
Yes.
It's precisely the practice of a monthly confession per se that's precisely keeping them away from mortal sin. Now, true enough, we can fall into a mortal sin now and again, but chances are, if they go faithfully every 4 weeks to confession like clockwork, faithful clockwork, chances are those monthly confessions will be only venial sins that are confessed. And that's a great thing. That's the whole purpose of a monthly confession. The whole purpose of every confession is hopefully that it's a confession that doesn't have mortal sins confessed.
Yes.
You go so frequently and you love the sacrament so much and it makes your Holy Communions more efficacious that you literally are staying away from mortal sin. How beautiful is that? So I'm not sure what your friend was referring to there. I'm sure they were speaking in sincere ignorance, not out of malice or anything like that. They probably just didn't realize that. But proof that they're wrong, Anne, that friend of yours is incorrect on the theology of sin, is that if you go to confession faithfully, chances are you will only have venial sins to confess. And if your friend is saying there's no need to confess venial sin once you've confessed it, then they would never, ever, ever go to confession again if they were staying away from mortal sin as well. And that just doesn't make sense because of what you just said, Anne, that every time we go to confession, we receive graces in that particular confession for those particular sins that we just confessed, whether venial or mortal.
Is that helpful for you, Anne?
Very helpful. Thank you very much. And have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you, Al.
Appreciate that. It is Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade here on EWTN. Father, maybe you could say a few words about your order.
Yeah, certainly. You know, we often get asked about vocations with the Fathers of Mercy, and so I want to urge guys out there, 18 to 40 years of age, who are contemplating a religious vocation with a religious order that's active, with a dynamic preaching apostolate, preaching throughout the United States and Canada and sometimes Australia, preaching week-long parish missions, weekend retreats, day-long conferences, father-son retreats, mother-daughter retreats, you name it. Go to fathersofmercy.com and check out our user-friendly website. And email also our vocation director, Father Joseph Morgan, at vocations@fathersofmercy.com. Again, that's the word vocation with an S at the end, vocations@fathersofmercy.com. fathersofmercy.com is Father Joseph Morgan's email, and his and our community website address is fathersofmercy.com. You know, what does it mean to be a Father of Mercy? I'll tell you, Tom, it means a man who wants to be faithful to the church founded by Jesus Christ, a man who wants to stay faithful to the deposit of faith, which is that heritage of faith contained in sacred scripture and tradition and handed on in the church from the time of the apostles, from which the magisterium, the teaching office of the church, draws all that it proposes for belief as being divinely revealed. And as a Father of Mercy, all this conviction is publicly expressed in a dynamic missionary preaching apostolate at parish missions, retreats, conferences, and devotions. And so give us a call. You'll find our phone number there at our website. Look at our website, which is very user-friendly. I know you're familiar with our website, Tom. And then also email our vocation director at vocations@fathersofmercy.com.
You know, I certainly do not know everything about every order. There are so many orders, but I do know that the Fathers of Mercy are the real deal.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. You know, we want to stay right in line with the chair of Peter. We want to swerve neither left nor right to the chair of Peter. You know, Tom, this hour we've gotten some calls on the nature of sin, the nature of virtue, springboarding from the springboard on masculine virtue. I want to read this. I guess we would call it a poem, author also unknown. I think it's very, very good. It comes in two versions, so I'll read both. They're very short. The first version is titled, Watch Your Thoughts. Watch Your Thoughts. Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. So everything that was just said there applies to the vice and the bad and the evil. It also applies to the virtue and the good and the holiness that one pursues. It can go either way. Now, the second version of that same poem is titled Sow a Thought, S-O-W, a little agricultural nuance there.
Yes, yes.
Sow a thought, reap a word. Sow a word, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, and reap a destiny.
Wow.
So they're echoing one another, but I think they're good in that they get the point across. And, you know, speaking of God's grace helping us get through things that are hampering us and holding us down, there's a great quote by the Southern Catholic author Flannery O'Connor. There's a new movie out about her life right now titled Wildcat, but you can see the trailer on YouTube, but she says this: all human nature vigorously resists God's grace at first because God's grace changes us and the change can be painful. God does change us, and sometimes that change is painful. All human nature vigorously resists God's grace because God's grace changes us and sometimes that change is painful. Right? So some good advice there from the Southern Catholic author, Flannery O'Connor.
Absolutely. And we have time for one more email. This is from Renee. She says, my son is almost 20 and is not practicing his faith right now. How can I talk to him about the faith and help bring him back to it? He asked me, Mom, how can I want a God who required such a sacrifice of his own son?
A great question.
Yeah.
Great question. You know, I wish Renee would have said if he's confirmed or not, if her son has received the sacrament of confirmation or not, because if he has not yet been confirmed, I would urge her to maybe bring up the sacrament of confirmation, which completes baptism in young adulthood and adulthood, to hopefully receive that, to complete the graces of confirming his faith with his own intellect. But you know, you got to meet him where he's at. Maybe start with a conversation with, you know, son, you don't go to church. What exactly is stopping you in that? You talk about you're not sure you want to follow a God who would sacrifice his own son, and yet that's just that, a sacrificial act. I mean, you have to really love the other to offer such a gift. So let's talk about this. Let's flesh this out. Let's talk about this and take it a little further, a step or two further. Meet him where he's at, Renee. Start conversation with him. Renee, I wish you would have mentioned the father in his life or lack thereof, because that could mean a lot too. Because if the father is in his life, it would be awesome if the two of you together, you and your son's father, married or not, could sit down down with him together and both give witness to him, because that would be a powerful thing for a young adult to see both parents together as a unit, again, married or not, witnessing to him about God and God's existence and all that God wants to offer the individual. But the ultimate answer is to meet him where he's at, converse with him, have conversation with him, offer him the floor to ask the questions and to attempt to answer his own questions. Once you get a greater sense of where he's at, is he agnostic? Is he atheist? Does he still have Catholic thoughts at heart but just doesn't practice the Catholic faith? Find out where he's at, then approach him from that angle.
That's great advice, and I know that there are an awful lot of young people who do not have a father in their life.
That's right.
But, you know, let's try to get a father figure in
their
life.
Yes, that's right. And this,
you know, a great holy man who is in their circle of influence.
Yeah, and this is the spiritual fatherhood that Pope Francis was talking about in our springboard. Maybe the person is an actual physical father, but he's not the actual physical father to this young man who lacks a physical father in his life.
Yeah.
So this other physical father could be the proxy for this young
man.
So Renee, there's a thought there for you as well. And again, Pope Francis, not only physical fatherhood is important, but spiritual fatherhood is important.
You could also ask that young man to call Open Line, and we'd be glad to talk with him.
Amen.
Father Wade, could you leave us with your blessing, please?
I certainly will, Tom. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. On behalf of our fantastic crew here, I'm Tom Price, along with Father Wade. And you know what? Guess what comes after Tuesday? Wednesday. That means we've got Open Line Wednesday set for you tomorrow at the same time with Father Mitch Pacwa. Until then, have a wonderful day and God bless.